Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Little Sitara on this not so cold morning compared to what we've been having. We're a little warmer today. There are a couple announcements I'd like to make. There are some in the bulletin. Little Sitara maintains an active email announcement list. So if you would be interested in receiving emails from our church, there's a weekly update and also important things like when the services are not happening, such as for bad weather we had a week ago. So if you are interested in that, please see your bulletin. The church also has a Facebook page if you're on Facebook and social media and you'd like to check us out there. We do have service recordings and text announcements. Again, all things that are in your bulletin if you'd like some more information. We do have an announcement from the youth this morning, so.
Next Sunday is an exciting Sunday for football fans. It's Super Bowl Sunday, so that's nice. It is also Super Bowl of Caring Sunday. You get it? Because it's got soup in the title. It's comedic genius. It's a national youth movement to fight hunger in local communities. Next Sunday, after both services, please look for youth at the back of the sanctuary holding soup pots to gather donations. Please consider helping fight hunger in our local community. All donations will benefit the Bethel Food Pantry. Thank you.
So make sure to bring out your wallets and your cash before we see the Patriots win another Super Bowl. One more thing that I want to bring to your attention, items for the We Care packages that the church sends to college students and military students are due. Any items that you're bringing are due this next Sunday, and the packages will be boxed up the second week in February. Do we have any more announcements out there? All right, if not, then stand and join us in hymn number 37.
Oh, my soul praise and glory is thine. First and foremost, welcome back to the Dominican Republic team. Check these guys out. Are they tan or what? But I can tell you one thing else. They are very, very sore and very thankful for hot water. Right, Diane? Amen. So thank you, Dominican Republic. We look forward to hearing your report next week. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord. You don't realize what you miss until you're not able to be with it for a while. Your wife, for example, being in a distance for isolation for what now, 25 days. It's nice to be out of my cage, even though it was my bedroom. And getting three meals a day, it wasn't such a bad gig. So it's good to be back with all of you. And it shows I can't button my jacket. But it's good to be back. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers, for your cards, for your support. It made all the difference. The pain that I should have felt was there, but not near as intense as what I read online, as what most adults get with this particular virus. So we want to highlight just a few other prayer rejoicing. Barry Gensmer's home from Fox Chase, and he's recovering. He doesn't want visitors at this time, but feel free to send phone calls and to send prayers his way. And also Elizabeth Hershey, Eric Hershey, he was the 10-year-old that was at Hershey Hospital, is now home, and he's recovering. So we praise God for him and being able to go home to recuperate, as well as Rufus Murky is being sent home. I don't think he's home yet, but he'll be home soon to be able to recuperate at home as well. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family?
We need to keep up with Sarah Bryant and Dee. He had some more seizures and bad news about medication this week. So just keep them in your prayers and keep up with them on Facebook if you haven't been.
First, I have a concern. Since it's flu season and cold season, I'd like us to not shake hands today. Keep our germs to ourselves. Secondly, a joy. On behalf of our congregation's historical committee, I wish to thank the 12 men who came yesterday and moved all the boxes of church histories from Gerald Seiler's barn to the basement of the Rarisburg Fire Company. We appreciate your strength and your willingness to get the job done. Thank you very much. Amen.
I like to say it's bittersweet being back. We made a lot of good friends, had really wonderful kids, and made good, I bonded pretty much so with Abby. She now calls me Tia Patty, Tia's aunt, but we shared a room and did a lot of things because we both couldn't do as much as we would have liked, which I really hated, but I'm not as sore as the others. But it is good to get back out of the heat that I liked, but was almost too hot. So it's just good to be back.
We're glad you're back, safe and sound. We're listening to the news around here. We're thinking there's so many variables that could have happened with flights, with so many different aspects of your trip, that we're so glad you guys are back with us. Yes, Sister Burrell.
Well, you have a big announcement in your bulletin about Curtis. I did want to say, when you mail your letters, it has in here, you cannot use address labels, you cannot use stickers, and you must put your full name on. Don't do like, even I should have known better, right? But B. Warner. They'll tell him that he got a letter from B. Warner, but he will not get it. And there was another member of this congregation, I let them know, they told Curtis, you got a letter from, and I won't say who it was, and I called that person, I said, well, you'll be getting your mail back. And this is a mail clearing facility. He is in Berks County Prison. His hearing is tomorrow, so keep him in your prayers. It's not an extremely serious offense, but being that he was on probation, it gets a little more complicated. So I am going to the hearing tomorrow, which will be very brief. That basically just decides whether the case will be held over for court. So keep him in your prayers, as many of you have done this past week. And I thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, keep your prayers in for my friend Chloe. She is going to be moving to Florida this week. And I really just want her to be careful because of the American alligators, pythons, and anacondas. So let's keep that in mind that she'll be okay.
It's not in the bulletin, but I forgot to say, if the cost of postage went up today, so if you feel you want to send a card, but you don't want to spend 55 cents, that's what it is starting today, I have stocked up on forever stamps, so you can put the card in our mailbox out here, and then I will forward it on to Curtis. I'll put the stamp on and mail it. Thanks.
I just wanted to say that Derek did come home yesterday, and he's now relaxing at home.
Oh, good. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just praise you this morning. We adore you this morning. We thank you for who you are, a God that is present to us in every situation that we endure in this life, every situation we rejoice in this life. And we just thank you that we have a God that longs to have a personal relationship with us. And I just pray this morning, Father, that each of our relationships with you would be solid, it would be firm, that it would be built upon communication, it would be built upon knowing you through your word. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can know you, that we can trust you, that we can be obedient to you, and we can know that all things are going to work out according to your purpose. So just thank you, Father, for just being a present God. And we just thank you for the love in this congregation, Lord. Continue to allow it to permeate between one another, whether it be sending a text or sending a card or just lifting up prayers, Lord. Just help us to continue just supporting one another and encouraging one another. And we know, Father, that you spur us on to do that. And we pray that we would allow that to increase in our lives. We do think of Daniel this morning, Lord. You know what that child has gone through. And we just pray, Lord, you would bring resolution. And most of all, Lord, we know who you are as master physician. And we pray, Lord, if it be your will, you would just extend your hand upon Daniel's entire body and just allow him to be healed in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we pray that for everyone gathered here this morning, whatever we may be facing, whatever illness we may have, whatever struggle we may have, whatever anxiety we have, whatever loneliness we feel, whatever depression we may be encountering, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we just surrender it to you. And we say, Lord, no longer do we want to try to deal with it on our own. And we confess we've done that. We want to let you control it. Let you be the one that has your will accomplished in our lives. So thank you, God, that you have a pleasing, perfect will for our lives. And though we don't always understand it, we trust it to you and ask you to just be our peace, to be our comfort, to be our protector. We lift up Juliana's friend Chloe. You know she's moving away, and Juliana will miss her so much, Lord, but we just pray protection over Chloe, Lord. You know what wildlife exists in Florida. You know what she'll be facing, and we just pray you would protect Chloe and her family as she makes that move, and just the heart that will be beating a little bit differently because of not having her friend here, Lord. I pray that you would just let them be able to communicate whatever way you would make that possible. And we just thank you for our brother Curtis, Lord. You know the hearing coming up tomorrow, and we just pray, Lord, you would just meet his needs. You would just be a personal God to him, Lord, and his family, Lord. Surround them with all that they need during this time as well. And we just praise you, Lord, for who you are in our relationship with you, knowing that whatever it is we face, that you just travel through it with us. And everyone on our prayer concerns this morning, we lift every one of them up by name. We think of Carl this morning, and we think of Eric, we think of Barry, and we think of Linda, we think of Derek and Terry, we think of Janet and Rufus Bayshore family, we think of Paul, we think of Hershey and Anna Mary this morning, and we think of the family of Catherine Ziegler and many others that flood our hearts even now, Lord. We lift up them by name in these moments of silence, and also just take pause to confess our sins to you. Thank you for being a listening God, an attentive God, a God that is always ready to hear us, to communicate with us, and to be our guide, to allow the Spirit to move in our lives. So thank you for this time that we can share our hearts with you during these next few moments of silent prayer.
Father, this morning, we just give our lives away. We deny ourselves, and we want to take up that cross that you have specifically for us, Lord. You know the work the Dominican Republic team has done. You know the seeds that they have planted. We pray, Lord, in those children's hearts, those young adults' hearts, those adults' hearts, Lord, that seed would grow and that they would come to full fruition, that you would accomplish the work in their lives that you have sent our team there to plant, Lord. And just thank you for the work that they accomplished. Thank you for the soreness that they feel, for they know they've done extremely well, Lord, and they've done great things to help in that church being planted. And may it be a place where people come and are drawn to be able to know your peace and your love and to know that relationship they can have with you. We thank you for meeting us here in this church building. But Lord, we know it's not just here. You go with us into this world. And we pray that you would always be on our lips, so that we would share your good news, your story of salvation with others, Lord, that people might come to know you. And we just thank you that we can shine light into the darkness that we encounter day in and day out. And we just pray for just a totality of peace in this entire world, Lord, that we would be able to resolve conflict and resolve everything that needs resolved in this world because of who you are and what you can accomplish, not being about us, but being about you. So thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of that plan. And we just trust the rest of this service to you. We lift up our brother Richard to you and pray you would continue to speak through him. And just thank you for the man that you have made him to be, Lord, and the word that you have given him to speak to us. And I just pray for everyone gathered here this morning, we would have attentive ears and be obedient to what you have spoken through Richard. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So a big part of January is New Year's resolutions, right? So I looked up, just out of curiosity, the top 10 most resolutions, I guess, most resolutions that people make in the new year. Number one, with 71%, is diet or eat healthier. Exercise more. Lose weight, top three. Save more and spend less. Learn a new skill or a hobby. Quit smoking. Read more. Find another job. Drink less. That is bad for you, but maybe drink more that is good for you. And spend more time with family and friends. And I wanted to say that one of my New Year's resolutions has been cleaning my bedroom. And after 10 years, I finally did it. It's been a resolution of mine for 10 years. So while I was cleaning out my bedroom, I took countless bags of trash out, but more importantly than that, I took countless bags of clothing to used clothing stores, donated toys to children, and I just want to encourage you today, along with our scripture, which you'll hear in a little bit, that offering is not always money. Offering is your time, your used clothes, and to not just throw away all those New Year's resolutions that we're doing this spring. So while you're spring cleaning here in a little bit, keep that in mind and see if any of your used items can be repurposed and donated. So along with our fiscal responsibilities this morning, I encourage you to donate your time and your other gifts as well. Will you pray with me? Loving and righteous God, you are far, far more generous to us than we are, and to all that you work with in your kingdom than we desire or we deserve. Make us as generous to others as you have been to us. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns, and your Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
I would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious, what is your favorite TV show?
Cake Boss.
Cake Boss. What is it called?
Game Shakers.
Game Shakers. What about you, LJ? You don't know? One of my favorites is to watch Family Feud. I even have the game with me. It's one of my favorites. I just love watching the families get together in hopes to win lots of money. What would you do if you won lots of money?
I would donate to charity and hunger and people who really need it.
That's a wonderful answer. Donate to charity and people who need it. LJ? Buy a what? Buy a Lamborghini. That's a tough question for some people, huh? Do you think that would make you rich if you had all that money?
No.
Why not?
Because even if you have lots and lots of money, it still doesn't really matter because God doesn't want you to have tons of money that makes you feel like rich and powerful.
Very
God does not want that.
Yeah. It wouldn't make you happy for very long,
right?
Do you know someone who has a room full of stuff, has so many things and toys? You know anyone like that? Or maybe that's you. LJ? Abby. Your sister. I'll admit, when I was your age, I had lots of toys and dolls and stuffed animals. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've learned that that's not as important as I thought it was. 2 weeks ago, Gary talked about one of Jesus' biggest rules, and that is to love your neighbor. And today, Richard's going to talk a little more about the things that Jesus tells us are important. And none of those are about having toys and money. Jesus doesn't care how much stuff you have. In fact, he doesn't care if you have any stuff. He says sometimes all that stuff just gets in the way of what's really important. Do you know what Jesus thought was important? Friends and family are a real treasure. That's a wonderful answer. You are right. What Jesus thought was important wasn't how much money you had. It was how much money you gave and how you helped other people and how you love to get along with others, how generous you are with your time, and how you care about other people. What are some ways that you can show that you care about people? Ideas? What are some ways that you can show that you care about people? Do you guys know what our church does here to help people?
Money that we pass out every day on Sunday that we donate to people who need.
We just had a group that came back from the Dominican Republic to help people. And almost every year we have groups from our church that go on trips to rebuild houses in storms and to help people who need it. We have people who take drinks to firemen fighting fires. We have a group from the church help close up Camp Sotara this year. We have a group that sends packages of food, clothes, and things from home called We Care Packages to all the students that are away at college. And we even have a group of people here called deacons who visit people who are homesick or in the hospital. And there's a lot more things that people here at our church do to show how much they care about other people. So these are all the things that Jesus taught us that are important. So not more money and not more stuff. Let's pray together. Dear Father, help us to learn what is really important in life. Help us to love each other and to give you first place in our life. Amen.
Please join in singing hymn number 338, I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Love.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew 19. It is verses 16 to 26. Feel free to follow along with me. It will be projected up on the screen or in your pew Bibles. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
By the time we get to chapter 19 of Matthew, we've seen Jesus doing many things. He's been speaking to the crowds. He's been healing the sick, those possessed by demons, bringing people back to life, feeding multitudes, using parables to get his points across, blessing little children, the Sermon on the Mount. All of those things have been happening. And you've been right there as Pastor Matt has discussed those with you leading up to the Advent, up to Christmas. And then along comes this young man, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" I like the way Eugene Peterson uses this, the modern terminology, as he gets into this scripture. The old version of the King James version of the Bible that I have at home says it was a rich young ruler, but that's not the word, those aren't the words that Eugene Peterson uses in writing it in our modern day translation. He says that it's a young fellow. A man stopped Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And you know what Jesus said to him. "Don't murder anyone. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Honor your father, your mother. Love your neighbor as you love yourself." The young man says, "Well, I do all that." And then he says, "One more thing. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor. And then come follow me." What did the young man say next to Jesus? Nothing. He turned and walked away. He was so sad. He had so many things he could not give up. You know the term, actions speak louder than words. That applies here. And then Jesus is being questioned by the disciples. How can anybody get into heaven? And I like the way that Eugene Peterson states it. He says, "That was the last thing the young man expected to hear, and so crestfallen he walked away. He was holding on too tight to a lot of things. He just couldn't bear to let go." And then Jesus says, according to this one, it's easier to gallop a camel through the eye of a needle. I have trouble picturing that. Do you too? Through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. Well, Jesus said to them, but there's something else over and beyond. You must trust God because it's God that makes that possible for you. It's at this point that you and I enter the drama. I recently heard a song. The first line says, Christians are the only Bible some folks ever read. Christians are the only Bible that some folks ever read. Let's think about that. If I had handed each of you a sheet of paper when you came in and had asked you to list what you think your neighbors see when they look at you, your comings, your goings, where they bump into you in town, in the checkout lines at Hornings, at the gas pumps while pumping gas, picking up a pizza at your favorite pizza shop, possibly riding with you in your car when the vehicle in front of you is going 10 to 20 miles slower than the speed limit. The list is endless. What would your neighbors see? Well, keep this thought in mind as we explore a related angle. Ida Scudder, as a child, was taken to South India with her family. Her dad was a medical missionary. And then she was sent back to the United States to complete her education. She returned to South India to help take care of her sick mother. She had three dreams. She wanted to return to the United States. She wanted to get married. She wanted to raise a family. The day that she had decided to do that, she wrote it in her diary. And that night, three times, there was a knock at the door of her father's house asking for her to come and help a lady who was in the birthing process. And she kept saying, there's nothing I can do, and she didn't go. The following morning, she learned that all three of those ladies had died in childbirth. And in her mind was this picture of Samuel in the Old Testament. Three times God called him at night because he had a job for him to do. And so she came back to the United States to get a medical degree. She was the first lady to graduate from Cornell University Medical School. And then she went hunting funding. And she found a banker in Manhattan who gave her $10,000 as a grant to open a clinic, to open a hospital in South India. Now, I didn't go hunting to find out what $10,000 from 1900 would be worth 119 years later. Maybe you can search that and let me know. But it was a lot of money in 1900. And so she opened a hospital in honor of her mother. And that was the beginning of the 20th century. She quickly realized that she just could not handle all of the cases. And she decided to open a medical school for girls. Male doctors said she would probably only have about a total of three people apply. The first year, she had 151 applicants and had to turn some away. And she continued to teach in the medical school. And the men, after a while, began pressuring her to allow men. And ultimately, she did. She allowed men into the medical school. 6 decades she worked in South India. There, she left as her legacy a 2,000-bed hospital. She never got to come back to the United States. She never got to marry. She never had a family to raise. She had given everything she had. Now, you might say, well, that wasn't dollars. Well, Ashley talked to us about the fact that it's not always dollars. So did Savannah. She gave everything she had. One of the books that I think I'll give this to you as a reading requirement for the next month. It's entitled The Upside Down Kingdom by Donald Craybill. Mine is a later edition. It's a 1990, but some of the people after first service said, we had to read that at Eton College for one of our courses, and we were there in the 80s already. So I don't know when Donald Craybill first wrote it, but if you're members of the Church of the Brethren for any number of years, you know the name Don Craybill. Don Craybill says, we must develop community within our faith community. God has designed our communities so that we can depend upon each other. I'll give you an example of something that doesn't fit. One of my sisters and her husband moved, moved into a community, and the people next door, which was, you know, they could lob a baseball and it hit the side of their house, it was that close. Every morning, those two people would back out of the garage in their cars and go to work. Every evening late, they'd come back, put the cars in the garage. On a Saturday, when my brother-in-law was mowing lawn, he'd say hello to the neighbor man. But in the half dozen years they lived there, they never saw the wife once outside of the house. Now, to me, that's not the community that Don Graybill's talking about. He sees life differently for you and me. He says it is important to select and create circles of friends, reference groups, that is, that affirm and support kingdom values, the Christian kingdom. He quotes an old adage, I am what I think you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. He ties this to our consumerism in America. We spend endlessly. And 30, 40, 50 years ago when he wrote the book, he quoted, about one-third of the world's population gobble up 80% of the resources. 30% of the world's population gobble up 80% of the resources. When you begin to think about that, that's us. We're part of the 30%. So what is it about America that causes us to be such consumers? Is it all the ads on TV and in the newspapers? Does it have something to do with having everything at our fingertips? Have you walked through a new mall lately? Does driving past an overflowing car lot make you want to get a new ride? Is the list endless? How do we control our urges? Craybill says we need to seek to create circles of fellow Christians who can help us control our need to buy more than is necessary. Let me repeat that. We need to seek and create circles of fellow Christians who can help us control our need to buy more than is necessary. Craybill asks, is my lifestyle this year more simplified than it was last year? Or is it more complicated, more consumptive, more stressful? In which direction is it drifting? I don't like the word drifting. That means I don't have control. I would have liked him to pick a different word, but he picked the word drifting. In which direction is my life drifting? So, how does this tie in with our knowledge of the rich young man? Are we he? If so, are we willing to call upon our circle of Christian friends to help us talk ourselves past the urges and lead us to giving our all to the poor, in order to fully follow Christ. You probably have heard me say before that I think they need to write an extra chapter or two in the New Testament. There's so many important things that have been said by people, not only in our immediate time, but before our immediate time, things that can help us to understand what Christ is calling. For instance, St. Francis of Assisi said, "It is in giving that we receive. It's in giving that we receive." Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, in a church sermon, where do you get this from? He said, "It's not enough to help the feeble up, but to support them after." Eleanor Roosevelt, when FDR was president, would leave the White House, and she'd walk through the slums of Washington, D.C., and try to find out what the people needed in the slums. And she would work to get nonprofit organizations to get in there and help those people. She was dedicated to helping the neediest. And so here we are at this point in our lives. And we know the scripture. We know what Jesus said. So we need to dedicate ourselves to Christ's work. And not only the people that have just returned from the Dominican Republic. That was quite a commitment on their part. For you and I who didn't go, it's a lot easier to live than to have to change so much about everything that we do. And so I challenge us that each day we might work at this process of giving all we've got. Let us pray. We accept you as our Lord, our Savior. We're happy that you have given us guidance in ways to live. Help us, I pray, to work at it 7 days a week. Amen.
I invite you to rise and join in singing our closing hymn, 598, A Wonderful Savior is Jesus, 598.
Thank you.
Determine today that you will work with your circle of Christian friends to control your relationships in order to have help controlling your material urges and to give it our all. And God bless you.